Alright, so we're paying him a pasuk to Zion. Vatavai Elchamaisa, and she came to her mother-in-law. Vataimer, and she said, Mi at biti, who are you, my daughter? Mi at biti, who are you, my daughter? Vatagid law, and she told her, Is kol asher asala ish, everything that the man did for her. This is not the first time that it says Miyat. I mean, she seems to have a history of this. She goes down to the granary to hide away in Bayez's, in the room that Bayez was sleeping in, with Ayyamah Miyat. And then she comes back to Nami and she says, Miyat, how come nobody knows who she is? They all forgot her last name? What was her last name? She didn't have it. Miyat, Miyat Biti. What's she asking? So Moshe David Vali tells us that Nami had Ruach HaKodesh. And Nami knew that Rus didn't do an Avera. You know, there was a danger of Rus doing an Avera, Chas V'Shalom. Or something bad happening to Rus. Of her being rejected, of her doing something wrong, of her messing up. But Nami had Ruach HaKodesh. And Nami already knew that Rus was Ayman bin Nisayan. And that she didn't do anything that wouldn't warrant her being called a daughter. So she said, Miyad Biti, no matter what happened, I know that you're still worthy of being my daughter. Because she was able to tell through the power of Ruach HaKodesh that she's worthy of being her daughter. Miyad Biti. What Nami did not know was how it unfolded. Yeah, what did Bayez do to Mitzvah Yibam? Did he push it off? So she's saying, Miyad Biti. I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know that you conducted yourself properly. And she was able to sense the Kedusha surrounding Rus. The Kedusha and the Tahara and the sincerity and the purity. And it was just withheld from exactly what happened. But in Paragimel Pasuk Tes, when Rus went down to the granary in the first place, so Bayez said, Miyat, he had no knowledge. The path in front of him was not illuminated. He had no foreknowledge of what she was coming for. Nami had Ruach HaKodesh, she was able to tell that Rus was pure. And Bayez, at the time when Rus entered the granary, he did not have the same Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, why? I don't know. But you, well,
what this she's knowing after the fact.
Yeah, but you should be able to tell what somebody's coming for. Someone that has Ruach HaKodesh could tell what someone's coming for. She's able to tell afterwards that Rus kept her
pure. She had the right intentions, but she could end up doing something wrong. She's a Moabite, she thinks it's okay to have...
The way Ramesh David Vali explains Miyat before, he was totally misled. Ramesh David Vali has to be consistent with his own statements.
Yeah.
And before, the way he explains it, I can't imagine where you're coming from. I have no idea where you're coming from. So he was asking, where did you come from? You've gone to do such a thing, you've broken down all the standards. And Nami was saying, I know where you're coming from. I just want to know who are you? Are you Mrs. Boaz or are you not Mrs. Boaz?
Mm-hmm.
So what she told Nami? What she told Nami all that Boaz did for her. Doesn't tell us too much in the
puzzle. Why doesn't it say Boaz in the puzzle? Why does it say the man?
You'll see it's a few times. It's not the first time.
Oh, it says in the beginning.
Look at the,
Ish connotates, like,
Hashivas.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it a few times.
Vayelech ish.
It's closer than that.
That fits very well because she's saying that she's not Mrs. Boz, and that she's and Naomi didn't know what transpired. So she's telling her what transpired.
Right. In Pasuk Tzayin, it says Vatagila is called Asher Asala Ish. He calls him Ish. Here's another Ish. Let's make an Ish collection. Vayibachatzi alayla was in the middle of the night. Vayachrad ha'ish, and the ish was trembling. Vinei isha shechavas magalayzev, and then there's an isha lying down. So it's referring to him as an ish and her as an isha. Yes. Okay, so let's go levaita.
Yes.
Oh, so the Targum explains, what does it mean it's called Asher Asala Ha'ish? And she told Naomi all the things that the Ish did for her. I'll just translate for you the words of the Targum. She told her all that the man did for her, and everything he did was based, was directed, was generated by the Ruach Nevuah, by the spirit of prophecy that was revealed to Boaz. So Ruth is telling Naomi exactly what Boaz did. I mean, everything we learned before, he's not going to do the mitzvah even then. He promises that he will do it, plenty of money, on some level we have to offer it to him, but he's not going to accept, and he has Ruach Kodesh, and he will redeem her, and that, you know, he was davening the whole night, all the things that we learned before. And she told Rami that Boaz did not agree with your Mahalach. Boaz had a Nevuah, and there was a scholar in Shemayim that we shouldn't do it in a way that has any impropriety. Everything is out in the open. Everything has to be a Kaddish, Tar, without any shadow of impropriety. And that was all pre Ruach Nevuah.
No Mara science.
He was davening, he didn't agree to do it like this.
Right. You just have to include everything we said in the past three shiurim and put that all in there. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vatayimer, she said, Shesha Sarim Eila, these six barleys, Nasanli. Boaz gave me six barleys. Ki Amar, Eli, you told me, Al Tavayi Reikam Al Chamosek, don't come empty handed to your mother in law. So here again, you have this word Eli. And the word Eli is pronounced, but it's not written in the Megillah. And he explains the reason why the word Eli is written that way. It's read but not written. It's because Boaz, by giving her the six barley grains, was alluding to the six tzaddikim that are going to emerge from her, and the six brachas that they're going to be blessed with. But those six tzaddikim weren't there yet. It was pure potential.
Who says this?
The Ibn Yichya. He was being meramis to her. He was alluding. He was highlighting the fact that she has the potential of producing six tzaddikim, but they're not there. It's going to happen over a period of time. There's a development, there's stages of development she has to go through in order to produce that. What? Aleph Lamed Yud. So that's why the word Eli is read, but it's not written, because the six tzaddikim that are going to be given to her or come from her are not revealed yet.
What does that have to do with the word Eli?
Because Eli means to me or from me. There's a number of Ramazim along the way that Ruth is a work in progress. We saw the actual significance of the roasted barley and the vinegar.
Yeah.
and the Ramazan, like the things that the Layad told Bayez about her. Right. So at some level, there was some truth to it.
Good and the bad.
The good and the bad. Don't come empty to your mother-in-law. Don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. The mom says that she held up the barley, and she held up the barley. According to the mom, it was a Shavu Pruta. It was 2 meals worth. It was definitely a Shavu Pruta. And she held it up, and she said to Nami, "You know, Nami, you were asking me who I am, and I'm walking in here with a present from a man, and I went there with the goal of getting married to him. Don't think for a moment that this barley grain is Kesef Kedushin." That's what the Malbim says. Don't jump to the conclusion that he was Mekadosh me with a Suda, with a meal, and that I'm Mrs. Boaz. So these grains...
This is a Rebbetzin.
These grains he gave to me for the express purpose of making sure that I don't come empty-handed to my mother-in-law. So she wasn't just trying to be kind and nice to Nami. She was telling Nami that the reason, the presents that I'm bearing are not Kesef Kedushin. It's not time for him to marry me.
6 barley grains isn't 2 meals.
According to the Malbim, it was 6 of an Eifa. Not 6 barley grains. The Gemara says it was 6 barley grains.
6 of 2 meals.
Right, it's 2 meals. It's 2 breakfasts. So she said, she was telling her that the reason why he sent this with me was not a wedding present. This was not Kesef Kedushin. This was for you. So that's why she mentioned it. She was mentioning it because he disagreed with you. You wanted the Kedushin to take place now, and he said it's not the time yet. There's still a process we have to go through. The Igeres Shmuel is another explanation why the word Eli is not written. It's only pronounced. So the reason why it's not written is because all the time that Bayez was with her through the night, those 6 hours in the night when they were all alone, not once did Bayez look at her. This entire drama unfolded by Bayez having a dialogue without having any kind of eye contact and not gazing at her. So the word Eli is not written because, as far as Bayez was concerned, she wasn't there.
She didn't look at him either.
That's not what the Igeres Shmuel says. I mean, there's differences in women looking at men and men looking at women. Halachas are different halachas. Because women don't have the same problems that men have. They're at a higher level in that respect. But he didn't see her. It was like he was talking to himself the whole night. It's very holy. Alright, Pasuk Yitchaz. For a timer, and Nami said, Shvi biti, sit, my daughter. Arashe teidin, until you know, Echi paladavar, how the thing is going to fall. Ki lo yishko to ish, because the man will not be silent. Ki im kilo adavar yayim, only if he finishes the thing today. So somehow somehow Nami knew that it was imminent. The closure was imminent. And she didn't, she didn't suspect that Bayez was going to delay matters or take a long time. It's going to happen right away. Somehow she knew this.
Is she also going to die?
I don't know.
Like it has to be done now?
I don't know. We see that twice, because Nami says Va'ato. So you see twice, Nami says that things are going to have to be rushed. So she knew that something had to be now.
Well, Bayez also knew that it was going to happen that day.
He also said Va'ata. I mean, yeah. Did
you spell Va'ata?
Vav Ayin Tafe. Bayez said the same thing. He gave him enough food for breakfast.
Because
That's it. It's going to happen. Vaata. Boya said Vaata. And Nami said Vaata. So both of them are having revelations in Shemayim that's happening today. What Chaim's asking, did Nami know that Boaz was going to die? I don't know. But we do have evidence that she knew that it had to happen now. So the mom said that the reason why Nami knew that it was going to happen today is because he only gave them enough food for breakfast. And she knew that Boaz wasn't a cheapskate. He was benevolent. Last time she had enough food for 5 days. It was 10 meals the last time. Enough food for two people for 5 days. And here he gives them breakfast? So that was her simon that's going to happen right away. That's the Malam Lushitase.
Yeah, but what about for Nami's food for the next couple of days?
Well, we assume that once Ruth becomes a part of Boaz's household, then Nami will also become a part of Boaz's household. The pasuk says that Nami told Ruth, Eich yipol adavar. We have to see how the thing falls. The Ben Ish Chai says, what was Nami afraid of? What was Ruth afraid of? They're afraid that she's going to fall in front of Pliny Almighty. Boaz was worthy. Boaz was the tzaddik. Boaz was the gael. Boaz is always called the gael. He's the one the redemption is going to come through. Nami wanted the souls of her children redeemed by Boaz. Ruth wanted the soul of her dear departed husband redeemed by Boaz. Pliny Almighty was not on the same level as Boaz. They didn't want. So Nami gave a bit of advice. Nami said, everything is going according to the voices that are coming from Shemayim. The Ruach HaKodesh is present. It's a constant presence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is resounding throughout creation at this time. So you just have to open up your ears and listen. So when the Sanhedrin debate the matter, go there and listen for a Siman Min HaShemayim. She told Ruth, I said, mark my words, listen for the first thing that comes out of Boaz's mouth when you're in the Sanhedrin, and that'll be like a Nevuah Ketana. The first thing that comes out of his mouth in the Sanhedrin will be like a Nevuah. He calls it a Nevuah Ketana, like a minuscule Nevuah. A Nevuah in a microcosm. The first thing that Boaz said when they gathered at the Sanhedrin is he addressed Pliny Almighty and he said Surah. Surah means
turn
away. And then he said Shvapa, you stay here. That was a Nevuah. That was a Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put those words in Boaz's mouth because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actualizing his plan of Pliny Almighty turning aside. And that's the Derech Hashem. When Hashem involves himself...
How does that make
any
sense?
Surah.
He told Pliny Almighty to Surah?
Yeah.
And then he said, you stay here.
Yeah.
So he was really talking to
everybody. It sounded like he was being polite and offering him a seat. Like Pliny Almighty was walking, and Boaz was saying, come over here and sit down. But what he was really telling him is going to be pushed away. Surah, lo sa Surah. He's going to be pushed... Surah me rabba say taif.
He's
full. Samach Vav Reish Hei. Yeah. So the Ben Ish Chai says that's what it means when it says Eich Yipol Davar. The word Yipol Davar could mean how the matter falls out. But according to the Ben Ish Chai, it means Eich Yipol Davar, how the speech falls out. Because the word Davar means speech as well. Tibur, Vayidaber. So she was telling her how the speech of Boaz comes out.
Ruth was telling Nami.
Nami was telling us. Saying, don't fear. If you want to know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in store for you, just keep your ears open. Okay, Parag Dal Pasuk Aleph. The Boaz, Allah, Ashar Boaz went up to the gate, the Yeshiv Sham, and he sat down there. This is the Sanhedrin. V'nei agayel oiver, and the Redeemer passed by. This is Pliny Almighty. Passed by. Asher diber bayez, the bayez spoke about. V'yemer, and bayez said, Surah, turn aside. Shvapai, sit down over here. Pliny Almighty. V'yasar, and he turned aside. V'yeshev, and he sat down. The Medrash says, you know, the Pasuk said the Bayez went and he sat down. When you go and you sit somewhere and you sit down, Pliny Almighty happened to walk by. It doesn't say the Bayez sent him a summons. It doesn't say the Bayez sent a summons to Pliny Almighty, come, let's take care of this, we're going to convene a special Bayez then. Bayez went to the gate, and the gate means the Sanhedrin, and he sat down. The Medrash says the boy said, there's a certain ishtadlus that I have to do. I have to go to the gate. This whole thing has to, you know, when a Kodesh Baruch is bringing a Redeemer, a Goel to the world, so then humans should do as little as possible. We don't need human interference. I'm going to go to the gate. So Nami, she sent Rus to the threshing floor. And she didn't give her any specific instructions what to do at the threshing floor. Ruth went to the threshing floor. She didn't do anything at the threshing floor. Bayez went to the Sanhedrin. He didn't do anything either. And all the pieces are in place. Naomi's at home waiting to find out what's going on. Ruth is at the basin waiting to hear what Bayez is going to say. And they're all waiting. And they're all waiting for Yeshua's Hashem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so says God, Akshav Ani Yeseh Shali, now I'm going to do what's incumbent upon me. It shows you the Chayzak and Munah. They weren't plotting or planning anything towards self-advancement or for any selfish reasons, anything Shalei L'Shem Shemayim. It was all L'Shem Shemayim. They viewed themselves as tools in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's very, very strong parallel with this and what happened in Megillas Esther. You know, you do, and then at some point, you just wait for directions. That's the Medrash. Rashi says Pliny Almighty's name was not mentioned. His name really wasn't Pliny Almighty. Rashi. Pliny Almighty means Mr. No Name. Because he didn't want to redeem Ruth, so he doesn't deserve his name to be mentioned.
Nobody else wants him to redeem Ruth.
Well, there was no one else in line.
There was Boaz.
Boaz did want to redeem Ruth.
Yeah, but nobody wanted him to redeem Ruth. No, God didn't want him to. Nami didn't want him to.
Right, but he had a choice. I mean, he could have risen. If he would have risen to the occasion, he could have done good. Yeah.
Nobody would have been happy.
When they're at a crossroads, and then they have an assignment, they choose the right over the wrong. Then they go up in level, they raise their own level. If he would have done it, he would have been a better person. The decision would have brought him up.
He even makes it sound a little like mean that when they ask him, he says, you know, do you want to take all these fields without him out? And he says yes, but it also comes with rust. He says no.
All right. The Targum gives Pliny Almighty a compliment, actually. The Targum says the reason why the apostle didn't mention his name is because Pliny Almighty was very tenor. He was very humble and modest in his ways. And that's why he called him Pliny Almighty. Bayez actually called him Pliny Almighty. According to the Targum, he called him Pliny Almighty. It's not that the Pasuk is covering over what his name is. He actually called him Pliny Almighty. It was a way of, it was a manner of addressing someone with respect. Come hither, the one who never seeks the credit for his actions. You're the one, the man behind the scenes. You're Mr. Invisible. Come hither. So you see that he had some merit to him. The Gemara said the Boyers gathered 10 people. Ben Ishkai has a very lengthy explanation of this pasuk. I'll share with you a small part of it. He addresses 3 points. Why is the Sanhedrin called the gate, Ashar? There's other names for it. It's called Ashar. Why is Pliny Almighty called Pliny Almighty rather than his real name, Tithe? And why did Boaz gather 10 people? In Pasuk Beis it says he gathered 10 people. In the next Pasuk it says he gathered 10 people. Alright, so you can answer that because he made a Sheva Brachos. Right? That's the Gemara. But the Ben Ishkai is a different halakh.
Are we doing each of these? Or we're just
going to do Ben. So like, we mentioned the Gemara Yevamos Daf Ayin Zayin, that there was a machlokes where the Rus's Geirus was valid because she comes from Mayav. It was a machlokes between David HaMelech and Doeg HaAdomi. You've all heard of Doeg HaAdomi? Doeg HaAdomi was the epitome of evil. He has no chesed
on Hava.
He's the one that lost because he's the one that... No, that's not Doeg HaAdomi. He was an informer on the city of Nov. The city of Nov was the city of Kehanim, and they gave refuge to David HaMelech, sanctuary to David HaMelech when he was running away from Shaul. As a result of this, of his words, of his report, Shaul killed out the entire city of Nov Yerkalanim. So Doeg was a Rasha. He was unredeemable, but he was also a Gadol Hador. He was like the bigger someone is, the bigger their capacity to fall.
Yes.
Ferocious. And he dodged him. And David HaMelech held Mayavi. So there's a machlokes whether the word Mayavi means anyone from Mayav or just the masculine members, just the males, just the Zacharim, the Anoshim. And Dayach had a riot because, we mentioned this before, because the Mitzri, that Megayer cannot come into Klal Yisrael for a number of 3 generations, and it doesn't matter whether he's a male or a female. So you see that you don't make the same drasha, mitzri v'le mitzris. So you see, Doeg was right. So Taisus and Yevamos answers, no, Doeg was wrong, because the word Mitzrayim is mem tzadik resh yud mem. That's the country. When you want to talk about someone that comes from the country, you take a mem off. Instead of calling him a Mitzrayim, you call him a Mitzri. So when you're referring to a denizen, a citizen of the country, you're taking a letter off. So a Mitzri is the word Mitzrayim without a mem. But someone, the country of Mayav is called Mayav. When you're talking about someone that comes from Mayav, you add a Yud, Mayavi. So by Mitzri, the Yud is not extra. By Mayavi, the Yud is extra.
So what else would you say it though?
It doesn't make a difference. I mean, it's still, you're adding on a yud. So since you're adding on a yud, so you could dash in the mayavi v'lei mayavis. That's Tosfos. So what saved David HaMelech? What saved David HaMelech was the letter yud. That saved David HaMelech. That saved Malchus HaTov. That was the letter yud. And the Ben Ishkai said, in the Nevi'im Achrayim, with very few exceptions, David HaMelech is spelled Dalet Vav Yud Dalet.
Where is this?
In Nevi'im. Sefer Nevi'im Achronim. Dalet Vav Yud Dalet. It's spelled... No. It's Dalet Vav Yud Dalet. You'll find Nevi'im Achronim in Tehillim. In Tehillim. Dalet Vav Yud Dalet. There's a Yud there. Why is there a Yud there? Because that was David's salvation. Was the letter Yud. Talba. Oh, you ask. Oh, your name is David.
You spell it with you?
The Grad in Sefer Rus, David is spelled without a yud. By the way,
Sefer Tom also is spelled without a yud.
It's with a yud. No, tell him it's with a yud. Yes, in Rus it's spelled without a yud. In Rus it's spelled without a yud, and the Ben Ish Chai has a cheshbon why. At the end of Sefer Rus, spelled without a yud. He said because if you add up all the names there, it talks about from Oved, Yishai, David. So if you count all the letters in those names, you're going to have 10 letters in the names. And if David would have a yud, you'd have 11 letters. So the Ben Ish Chai said the reason why David is spelled without a yud at the end of Sefer Rus is because you want to include all the other names to have a total of 10 letters, including their names. And if you'd spell David with the yud, then you'd have 11 letters. In any case, in the Vayim Acharonim, it's spelled with a yud because that saved him.
What is that again?
Pliny Almighty. Pliny Almighty was afraid. Pliny Almighty held like Dayig. Pliny Almighty held like Dayig. He was afraid. His mom is afraid. He's going to get married to Ruth and Noah. His children won't be accepted into Klal Yisrael. They'll be illegitimate. So he was left without a wife. He was left a widower. You know, he could have married Ruth. He could have had a worthy Yeshus Chayel. But because of this drasha, so he was a widower. And because of it, he had the ability of retaining great heights, and he fell. He fell. This was a failure. Pliny Almighty Pliny, if you mix around the letters, forms the words Nofel Yud. He fell because of a Yud. The word Almoni is Almon Yud. Almon means he was a widower. An Almon is a widower. He's a widower. He's bereft of a wife because of a Yud. So Pliny Almighty means he fell because of a Yud and he was an Almon because of a Yud. Because of this drasha. The Sanhedrin that was convened at the time was referred to as a Shar. The Ben Ish Chai said the Shar is the same letters as the word Eser. And Eser is the gematria of the letter Yud. And that's why... And that Shar and Eser. Shin Ayin Resh is Ayin Sin Resh. And that's why he gathered 10 people together, because it's also an Indian of 10. So Boaz was being mefarsim. Boaz was being mefarsim that Pliny Almighty is losing everything because he doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand you make a drasha from the Yud. He's gathering 10 people together so that everyone should know that the Yud is the drasha. And it's called Ashar also for the same reason. So this is something Boaz wants us to go down in history. Pasuk Beis. Vayikach Asura Anoshim, he took 10 people. Mizikne Eir, from the elders of the city. Vayayim, and he said, Shvu po, sit here, vayishavu, and they sat. The Gemara in Ksuvis, Dav Zayin Amabeis, we must arrive from here. That Birchas Chasanim needs 10 people. And that's the halacha. Do you make Birchas Chasanim if you have a minyan? And Boaz was planning on marrying her. So he took 10 people, they'd be ready for the chasanim.
The Lord doesn't already have a son, Henry. It's 23.
Another reason why he took 10 people is because if you want to publicize something, so then.
This is also the Gemara?
Yes. So then you do it in the presence of 10 people.
Normal means 3. I'll be plus, I think.
No, no, I'll put plus as well as Shinhar. Okay. You want to do something, Barabim, the definition of Barabim is 10 people. Kiddushim Shemayim is in front of 10 people. There's a commentary from the Kiddush Yitzchak, which is just the opposite. Just the opposite. So if players were planning to make a chasna, so you only invite 10 people to your chasna? How many people are you planning on having by your chasna?
More than 10 times.
I had a lot of people in my chasna.
12.
How many people are you going to have by your chasna? You only invite 10 people. He takes the other route. You only invite 10 people to your chasna. This was a unique sensitivity on the part of Bayez. He offered plenty of money, the opportunity of getting married to Ruth. If he agrees, it's a big covet. It's a tremendous covet. What if he refuses? Busha. It'd be very embarrassing. He's willing to, you know, to redeem all the land of his brother, and when it comes to redeeming the souls of his brother and his children, so then he just can't bring himself to do it. It's extremely embarrassing. So Boaz took the minimum amount of people. He took just 10 people, because you need, like the Gemara says, you need at least 10 people. But more than that, he didn't take, because he didn't want to have, he didn't want to embarrass plenty of money any more than necessary. You see the midas of Bayez, the way he's doing it. Pasuk Gimel, Vayemel Agayel. And Bayez says to the Gayel, to the Redeemer, Chalkas Asada, there's a portion of field. There's a lot. Asher Le'achinu Le'Elimelech, to our brother Elimelech. It wasn't Bayez's brother, it was his uncle. But it's plenty of money's brother. Achinu Elimelech, a relative. A relative Elimelech. Machra Nami. Nami sold. Hashava Miste Mayav. She came back from the fields of Mayav.
Our brother.
The Mam is Akasha. When you sell a land, you can't buy it back right away. You have to wait a minimum of 2 years until you buy it back. It's called a stay achuza. You sell, somebody invests the money in the land, they're entitled to keeping out for at least 2 years before you can buy it back. After 2 years, you get the opportunity of buying it back. When Yevil comes, you get it back. But for 2 years, you can't. So how could you say that Nami sold it and we're going to buy it back? If she just sold it, she just got here. She wasn't in Eretz Yisrael for 2 years. She was in Eretz Yisrael for a few months. She came by the harvest of the harvesting of the barley, and then it was bundled and it was winnowed. So between the harvesting and the winnowing, how long could that be already? A few months.
The most.
The most. It's not 2 years. So Mama is Akasha. How could they buy it back? So because of that, the mom says that she didn't actually sell it. It was as good as sold.
What
because
did it make?
In the Torah.
The
yes. In the Torah.
No,
not like the Yichud Tznuya. So therefore the Malvin says that she already put it on the auction block. You know, they had it assessed, they went to Sotheby's, they had it put up on the auction block, and it's as if it's sold, because it's a good price. It's going to get snapped up. And what Bayez was actually trying to do, he was attempting to prevent the sale of the land, not to buy it back, because you wouldn't be able to buy it back anyway. Elimelech's holdings are called Chelkas Asada. What's Chelkas Asada? What does the word Chalkas Asada mean? Chalkas Asada means a portion, a chalik. It means not a total portion. Based on that, they have an edge set, because Elimelech didn't have a whole field. He only had a part of a field. And that's all there is to redeem, because he only had a part of a field. That's the Ebenezer. The Malbim has a kash on this. It doesn't make sense. You know, He doesn't accept this. That all that Elimelech had was a part of a field. He was a wealthy man. He got an einish for leaving Eretz Yisrael because he was a wealthy man. Someone that's a wealthy man is much more than a part of a field. Why is it called Chelkos Hasada? The Malbim asked this kasha on the Eben Ezra. So the Malbim learns that of course he had many, many chalakim. He had many, many fields. It's just that his holdings are divided into two parts. Now this is going to be different than what we learned when we first started the Megillah. The Mom learns a little differently. Because when, in Parak Aleph we discussed that Ruth did a chesed with Naomi that she didn't take a ksuba. She was makel ksuba. But the Mom doesn't learn like that. The Mom learns that Ruth did take a ksuba. And Elimelech's lands were divided into two parts. Part of it was owned by Naomi and part of it was owned by Ruth. And both lots, you know, both portions were on the chopping block. They were both about to be sold. The entirety of Elimelech's holdings were about to be sold out of desperation because Naomi just came back from Nayib. She had nothing. Naomi's portions and Ruth's portions. But Boaz did not address Ruth's portions. He only talked about redeeming Naomi's portions, not Ruth's portions. Why? Because if he's going to talk about Ruth's portions, he has to mention Ruth's name. And he didn't want to mention Ruth's name yet.
But if he does anyway, then what does it matter?
Because he wasn't ready. First, he wants to see if Pliny Amoni will redeem the land. Pliny Amoni said yes, and then he mentioned Ruth's name.
Man, he said no.
Why do you want to see if he'll say no and then yes?
Why? What's the reason? Intention, or what's his intention?
Right. Yeah, so that's why he's talking about Chelkos Hasada. He's only talking about a part of the fields. Because he's only talking about Nami's part. So there's a machlokes between Eben Ezra and the Mav, what the word Chelkos Hasada means. According to Eben Ezra, that's all that Elimelech had was a part of a field. He had a fragment. According to the Mav, he had a lot. And the word Chelkos means he divided his holdings into two parts, and Boaz is only talking about one of them now. Boaz, we could stop over here, Mr. Sham.
Okay.
I don't know the next time we're going to have Shir.